The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents... Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. It is Wednesday, March 10th, 2010, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to our weekday show. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, 1 p.m. Pacific, with replays at 3, 5, 7, and 9 p.m. Pacific. And joining us from our virtual studio in beautiful Astoria, Oregon, my good friend, half-half sister, and president of the Willow Fan Club, Cannabis Carrie.
That is one of my favorite movies of all time. Thanks for calling me out, Radical Russ.
Glad to do it. Glad to do it. We're having some fun here for the show. Just Carrie's going to be giving us the hemp headlines right after the first break from CannabisFantastic.com. Carrie, what's on slate for today?
Well, we're going to talk about some Colorado lawmakers who are sending a strong message to the White House. We're going to go to some cannabis reform news from around the globe, and we're going to check in on what Australia is planning. And also a new business that's opening up in Iowa City. We're going to cover that as well.
All right. We'll get to that right after our first break, after we pay some of the bills. Thank you so much, Carrie. Also got to make a few announcements here. First of all...
Are you good?
It's a normal shout-out.
We got a shout-out for three states in the United States, actually four, excuse me, that are currently involved in initiative petitioning for marijuana law reform. Want to call out to the folks in the Evergreen State, Washington. Washington State is pushing for a legalization initiative. Also, California. California's got a legalization initiative coming out on the ballot. And then South Dakota and Florida both have medical marijuana initiatives coming out on their ballot. They need help getting signatures, and we want to get folks involved in normal chapters to help them out. So if you'd like to get involved in starting or joining a normal chapter, send your email to our new address, start@normal.org. That's right, start@normal.org. Also, we're looking at the change.org competition for questions to ask of our government to redress our grievances. And the legalization question, you can vote on it by going to miniearl.org/legalization, and you'll be able to cast your vote. We want to make it rise to the top of the charts once again. And later on in the show, I'll be telling you about our new contest from Homegrown, one of our new sponsors. Homegrown has some awesome t-shirts that they sent me. We're going to be giving these away later in the show. I'll tell you how you can get one of yours. We've got two double XLs. We got one large and one small. So something for everybody. Stay tuned for that information later on in the show. Also on today's show, we've got our Irie Wednesday Daily Toker Tunes. Johnny Reefer Seed will be joining us from Iowa with a new song from Sara Indio. Also, Dr. Mitch Earlywine joins us for our Cannabis Science Today, answering your live chat questions on science, culture, health, and everything you'd ever want to know about marijuana. And toward the end of the show, we'll be speaking with Gary Stork, Jackie Rickert, and Jim Miller, who are fighting for medical marijuana legislation in the state of Wisconsin. This is Normal Show Live. Stay tuned. There's more coming up right after this.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford. from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as in multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carry.
Colorado lawmakers trying to regulate marijuana dispensaries are asking the U.S. Attorney General to stop raids of medical marijuana operations. The lawmakers as a group emailed the request to Eric Holder last Monday, following up on a letter sent last week. The lawmakers say the raids are discouraging dispensary operators and medical marijuana patients and growers from working with them on proposed regulations. The letter was sent by Senator Chris Romer and Nancy Spence and Representatives Tom Massey and Beth McCain. A suburban Denver man had been charged with possession in federal courts after agents raided his home and found 224 pot plants. Agents have also raided 2 laboratories that test medical marijuana after their owners applied for drug licenses. Russ?
Yeah, this is a story that's going to continue to develop because Colorado is on such a steep incline as far as their registration rates for medical marijuana. They are looking at, by May, having 100,000 registered medical marijuana patients. Last year, I was at the Aspen Legal Seminar. This took place in June of 2009, and we had a lot of people that wanted to open up dispensaries coming to the legal seminar to ask normal attorneys on the legalities of setting up such dispensaries. At that time, there were 30 dispensaries in the Denver area. Now we're getting reports of there being over, well, just hundreds and hundreds of them. Some counts up to 200 different dispensaries, some counts up to 500. It's just amazing how cannabis has taken off in Colorado. Now, Colorado has learned from some of the mistakes that have been made in California. In California, the problem is that the local legislators, the people at the LA City Council and all the different county boards and such, pretty much punted on their responsibility to come up with reasonable regulations for the dispensary market. And that's where they've seen the huge growth there in California as well. And some of the abuses that we detail that make it so much harder to pass medical marijuana in other states, because everyone points back to California and says, oh, they've got people on Venice Beach, girls in bikinis with signs that say, get your medical marijuana recommendation, and all these terrible stories that we hear. So some of these Colorado lawmakers are really trying to come up with some legislation, and they really do want input from the community. But again, as they point out, when the feds are going to come in and start raiding everything, that doesn't encourage anyone to obey the rules. Why are you going to obey a state or county or local rule to register your dispensary if that information is just going to be used by the feds to help bust you later? Again, everybody in the cannabis movement, almost everybody, I always have to remember there are some growers who do not like the idea of legalization, but almost everyone else in the cannabis community wants to be legal. To me, the great success of medical marijuana is showing that given a chance to be legal, given a series of hoops to jump through, most people will do it. Most people want to be legal. They don't want to feel the shame of having to hide their use when they realize that their use of cannabis is so much less harmful than everyone else around them and their use of alcohol or prescription drugs.
Now, certainly as festival season gets underway, Normal Show Live will be covering a lot of the American festivals that happen in our own country. But today I wanted to tell you about cannabis reform news from around the world. Australia is planning their 18th consecutive rally for cannabis law reform in the town of Nimbin. It's called the Mardi Gras Festival, and it's the largest pro-cannabis rally in Australia. This year they're hosting activists and speakers from around the world. Dr. Robert Melamed, a special guest that will discuss the health benefits of cannabis extract, is the president and CEO of Cannabis Science, Inc., the Colorado company that works with world experts on cannabinoid science. Recently, police raids in the laid-back town of Nimbin have energized organizers that the time to reconsider cannabis laws is now. The Prime Minister of Australia, Kevin Rudd, has called for more evidence-based policies, and cannabis reform activists down under are pushing hard to make changes while he is still the head of the ruling party. The previous administration had a very tough stance against cannabis, jailing thousands of Australians for possession. Australians are reaching out to American activists to hear firsthand how medical cannabis dispensaries are changing life for cannabis users in America. They are also featuring doctors, criminology professors, and artists and musicians to help celebrate the event. Now, their opening ceremonies were kicking off on Sunset, April 30th, with a huge sing-along as the Hemp Olympics, that's spelled with an X, torch makes its way along the route to the park where they begin every year with a moment of silence for all the victims of prohibition. You still have time to plan your trip. The rally is held the first weekend of May.
Oh, I would love to get down under one of these days for one of those events. Both Australia and New Zealand have a very strong cannabis community. A lot of people don't know this, but outside the United States, the greatest rates of cannabis use are found in Australia and New Zealand. Now, we've got chapters of Normal in New Zealand. In fact, Normal New Zealand is the most active international chapter we have. I just posted a story from them on our Stash blog at stash.normal.org, where they are crying out about the 10-year suspension of a professional rugby player in New Zealand for his third positive cannabis test. So they're getting out there, they're getting the headlines, and they're doing great. Australia, on the other hand, has been very, very difficult for us to institute any normal organization there. There had been some people there who had used the normal name and given us quite a bad reputation in Australia, and it's all I can do to try to convince people that we're a new normal and I'm a new outreach coordinator, and we really do want to reestablish a strong and respectable normal Australia. So if you know anyone who's living down under and would like to get involved with cannabis law reform, please have them send an email to start@normal.org, and we'll get Australia on board with cannabis law reform.
And a sandwich shop chain is planning to open up in downtown Iowa City that will be cannabis-themed without having any actual cannabis. The Chiba Hut Toasted Subs already has thriving restaurants in Arizona, Colorado, and California, and now they are planning their first Midwest location and hope to be open by the start of the university's fall semester. Their menu features sandwiches called Homegrown, Magic Mushroom, and Jamaican Red. There are no illegal ingredients at the shops. You can top your sandwiches with hemp cream cheese or end your meal with a hemp brownie. Matt Trethaway, Chiba Hut's chief operating officer, said the restaurant's marijuana theme is all tongue-in-cheek, and it is an exercise in free speech. The restaurants feature rock and roll and reggae music and offer friendlier experiences than their competitors. The thriving chain shop has a shop in Eugene and is planning one in Portland, Oregon as well. Their tagline, the only thing fried is the occasional customer.
Well, you know, the Chiba Hut restaurants have always not only just played off of the cannabis community, but they've also donated and supported the cannabis community. There are a few normal chapters that actually hold their meetings at Chiba Hut locations, and they have been known to donate to the cause, you know, providing banners and information at rallies and marches and so on. The other thing about this, too, is that it's not just Chiba Hut that's on board with you know, the jokes and the tongue-in-cheek and the wink-wink, nudge-nudge with regard to 420 and our community. You find it all over the place. In Eugene, Oregon right now, there's a place called Toasted Herbs, right? Toasted Herbs. And all their sandwiches are things like the Humboldt sandwich and the Chronic and so on. When I was in Madison, Wisconsin last year for the Great Midwest Harvest Fest, right there on the campus of the University of Wisconsin was a sandwich shop that featured the 420 fat sandwiches, and they had a whole menu that was based on the idea of, you know, 420 and all their prices being 420 and so on. And we find it in so many places where businesses want to get our business by appealing to our sensibilities, and yet a lot of them don't contribute. A lot of them don't give back to the community. So I would ask all of you to keep a critical eye when you're going to give your business, because, you know, money talks, and our hemp dollars are our votes. So we need to let them know that if you're going to start, you know, reaching out to us, you need to give back to our community as well. Thanks, Carrie, for those headlines. Time now for some more information. On our homegrown.com t-shirt contest, it's our first contest here on Normal Show Live. Glad to bring it to you. We got four t-shirts we're giving away here. They are 100% cotton t-shirts. Let me see if I can get this on the cam. I'll pull a bigger cam shot up here. 100% pre-shrunk cotton from homegrown.com. They've got all sorts of stuff. We've got two double XLs. We've got one large and one small. And I'm showing them up here on the cam. And I'm going to be giving these away to the first emails I receive from our listeners with the following requirement. All you need to do is send emails to your state or federal official. Whoa, hey, hold on now. We're not ready for that. Boy, I hate it when they do that to me. Automation machine gone wild. So it's not 420 yet. Even my computer wants to get to 420. So we've got these homegrown t-shirts, and they will be given away to the first emails I receive where you send a letter to your federal or state officials. This can be your federal senators, representatives, or your state senators or representatives. I want three replies dated in the month of March 2010 to your request for them to support marijuana legalization. Give me all three replies in one email dated from your representative or senator, either at the state or federal level. And we want three of them, and they have to be from March 2010. You can't go back in your files and pull something up you got from them back, you know, last year or whatever. Three replies, and that's what we'll do to make this contest happen. We'll give away all four, and I will base the winners based on the receive date that I get them in my email. So we're looking forward to giving those away and get involved with that. Also wanted to point out a couple more things in the news that are quite telling about this war on drugs. Many of you in the chat room are already pointing out the death of actor Corey Haim, or Corey Haim, I'm not sure. I think it's Corey Haim. He was one of the two Coreys back in my day, back in the 80s, who was so popular amongst the teen crowd. And his death is ruled, so far, we haven't got the official results or anything, but people are saying this death is a result of prescription drug abuse. So once again, I'd like to point out that another celebrity is dying from drugs, and that drug is not cannabis. Had he stuck to the cannabis, you know, he had mentioned that he'd smoked a joint on the set of The Lost Boys back in 1985. Had he stuck with the cannabis, Corey Haim would still be with us today. I also wanted to point out a story that I've posted at the Stash blog at stash.normal.org. This is with regard to a new book that has been written by a woman named Michelle Alexander, and it's called The New Jim Crow, How the War on Drugs Gave Birth to a Permanent American Underclass. Now, we all know about how the war on drugs is racist, but she brought up some amazing statistics that even I didn't know about the war on drugs. To wit, there are more African Americans under correctional control today in prison, jail, probation, or parole, than were enslaved in 1850, a decade before the Civil War. That's right. More black people in jail than we had slaves in 1850. As of 2004, more African American men were disenfranchised due to felon disenfranchisement laws than in 1870, the year that the 15th Amendment was ratified that prohibited laws that explicitly denied the right to vote on the basis of race. A black child born today is less likely to be raised by both parents than a black child born during slavery. And of course, the recent disintegration of the African American family is due in large part to the imprisonment of black fathers. And finally, if you take into account prisoners, a large majority of African American men in some urban areas have been labeled felons for life. In the Chicago area, the figure is nearly 80%. These men are part of a growing undercaste, not class, undercaste, permanently relegated by law to second-class status. They can be denied the right to vote, automatically excluded from juries, and legally discriminated against in employment, housing, access to education, and public benefits, much as their grandparents and great-grandparents were during the Jim Crow era. Now, the only thing to me more shocking than the statistics of African Americans in the drug war is how few African Americans are involved in their own liberation. When you look at normal chapters, when you look at normal's board, it's 14 white men, a white woman, and one Latina. When you look at the boards of the other drug law reform organizations, between LEAP, ASA, MPP, the Drug Policy Alliance, and Normal, there are a total of 4 African American men and no African American women. So I'm calling out right now to all my African American and Latino and Latina brothers and sisters, get involved. It's time for you to stand up for your own liberation. This white guy who's been smoking for 20 years has never had a problem with the cops. It's time that I'm not the only one shouting out about this. Time for you to get involved in your own liberation. Send me an email at start@normal.org.
Law420.com.
Hello, I'm Russ Belville, Outreach Coordinator for Normal. In my job, I read literally hundreds of headlines each month involving nonviolent, productive citizens whose lives are ripped apart by a marijuana or drug arrest. Many citizens could avoid arrest by refusing police searches and remaining silent, but police are well-trained to confuse and intimidate. That's why you have a right to speak to an attorney before answering any police questions. I hope you never need to exercise that right, but if you do, make your first call to the law offices of John C. Lucy IV. John Lucy is an accomplished criminal defense attorney with expertise in Oregon's medical marijuana law. John Lucy understands and respects cannabis and drug consumers of all backgrounds. Call John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit in downtown Portland. Address available at law420.com. That's John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit law420.com today.
Hi, it's a kite, everybody.
This drug in front of me is what they call marijuana.
If we had a dime for every dime bag bought in America, marijuana would be legal by now. Donate to Normal at NORML.org and support Normal Show Live. Going to light.
It's time for your Daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our PodSafe music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we get tunes for Irie Wednesday, our celebration of that mellow vibe we find in the best of reggae, ska, calypso, and Latin music. Brought to you by Johnny Reaverseed and the High Rollers, America's favorite red-eyed soul rock and roll band, available now on iTunes and CD Baby. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now, here's some great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tune.
Yes, our Irie Wednesday, and that means we visit Johnny Reaverseed from Johnny Reaverseed and the High Rollers all the way over in Iowa. Johnny, welcome back to the show.
Hey, how you doing, Rod?
I'm doing good. Hey, you looking forward to that Chiba Hut opening up in Iowa City?
Yeah, it's a couple hours away, but you know, I go to Iowa City once in a while, so I'm sure I'll at least check it out next time I go there.
How are things going down there in Iowa lately?
Good. Real good. We're waiting on the pharmacy board to set up their committee to hopefully next year we'll get some medical stuff going with the legislature. So
yeah, I think you're in good stead for getting some medical marijuana there in Iowa, especially if the bills in Wisconsin and Illinois go forward. I can't see how Iowa can stand by and not get on that gravy train. But anyway, let's get to the Irie Wednesday tune.
Exactly.
Tell us all about this song that we're going to hear today.
All right, well, this is a song. Toker Tam's been forwarding us some real good songs that are going to be part of the Marijuana Music Awards. So, anyways, this is Sara Indio. She's an international reggae artist, mesmerizes audience with her sultry vocal styling, infectious rhythms, and positive vibes. Hailed as the reigning empress of reggae and dubbed Jazz Jewel by her adoring fans, Sara delivers the global message of truth and rights, forgiveness, and love through her music. Born in Philadelphia to a musical family, Sara gravitated towards the magnetic mysticism of reggae. Relocating to Hawaii, where she joined Ja Ringa Reggae Band, inspired her to sing about life's beauty and enigma. a natural ability to convey the message of universal truth and rights symbolically grants her the title Jazz Jewel. Sovereign is currently collaborating with veteran reggae guitarist Tough Lion, whose incomparable influence as both musician and producer nurtured the very essence of Change, her sophomore album, and is a continuation of the uplifting vibes from her debut album, Good's Gonna Happen. Today's Toker Tune, Spiritual Connection, will be one of the many great songs that will be up for the upcoming 2010 Marijuana Music Awards, which you can find out about at www.marijuanamusicawards.com. And learn more about Sara at www.saraindio, that's SaraIndio.com, and at myspace.com/JazzJewel. And you can also purchase her music on iTunes, so let's fire up some Spiritual Connection.
All right, thank you so much, Johnny. Spiritual Connection, Sara Indio. You know her from her other song on the stash, Ital Medi. Check her out, and the download will be available at stash.normal.org.
Daily, the system grinds on our minds, yeah. Herb reconnects us to the art of time. Lies, they teach, they don't educate. Oh, no. Herb wise eyes see and penetrate. I'm the bush mama, I promote the marijuana. It's a medicine to men, but I must mention. Feel the spiritual connection when you smoke. Focus your attention. You got a problem, herb might help you solve them. Be still in the silence. Wisdom is revealed. Good intention and right action is the highest virtue. I don't wanna be hurt, I don't wanna hurt you. Coming to conscious conclusions creates peaceful solutions. I'm another one of you. I feel the things you do. Follow the smoke and let your tension drift. Keep on rising till you feel your spirit live. Breathe deep and easy, giving thanks for your life. Banish fear and darkness, step into pure light. I'm the bush mama, I promote the marijuana. It's a medicine to men, but I must mention. Feel the spiritual connection when you smoke. Focus your attention. You got a problem, herb might help you solve them. Be still in the silence. Wisdom is revealed. Pass the chalice, burn away malice into the universal mind. From the realm where nothing's new, a multiple choices come into view. Dip into the vast knowledge pool, and when you surface, you feel renewed. Space is where you make wise decisions. Time is for the art of giving. Mistakes are a part of living. Remember compassion, practice forgiving. And when you speak, seek to reach a higher ground. A place where harmony can be found. Then we'll be skanking to a brand new sound. Follow the smoke and let your tension drift. Keep on rising till you feel your spirit lift. Breathe deep and easy, giving thanks for your life. Banish fear and darkness, step into pure light. I'm the bush mama, I promote the marijuana.
Sara Indio with Spiritual Connection. We'll have this song ready for download on stash.normal.org after the show.
It only comes twice a day, but I don't care. It's 420 somewhere.
All right, time for a quick look at our cannabis community calendar, which you can find at normal.org/calendar. Today, there's a general meeting for CSU Fresno Normal. Check them out at the Family Food and Science Building, room 216A. Tony Ryan from Law Enforcement Against Prohibition will be speaking at Arizona State University Normal. Check our calendar for more details. Thursday, March 11th, there's a Normal at Cooley meeting at the Cooley Law School, Lansing, Michigan. You can contact Ryan at 217-473-4255. 5553 or email normal-cooley@live.com. Pittsburgh Normal is having their open meeting on Thursday, March 11 at the Ava Shadow Lounge in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Check out pittsburghnormal.org for more details. And the University of New Hampshire Normal is having their meeting at the MUB 334 room at the University of New Hampshire. We'll be right back with Dr. Mitch Earlywine and your live questions in the chat.
Normal Show Live reminds you to never consent to a search. If you're holding and you consent, in most states you will be arrested immediately and you will go to jail. If you don't consent to a search, police may try to intimidate you by threatening to bring in drug-sniffing dogs or try to fool you by saying things will go easier if you consent. Yeah, easier for them, sure. Stand your ground, refuse the search, and ask the officer if you're free to go. If they still detain you and eventually find your contraband, you'll be no more busted than if you had allowed the search. But by refusing the search, your attorney has a chance to win your acquittal before a judge. If you consent to the search, your attorney's hands are tied. You can find a list of Normal Legal Committee attorneys specializing in marijuana cases by visiting the Find a Lawyer link at normal.org.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
It's time for Normal Show Live's Cannabis Science with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is an associate professor of psychology at the State University of New York in Albany. Now, open wide and say, here's your dose of cannabis science.
We go to the State University of New York in Albany and our good friend, Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Mitch, welcome back to our show.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, everyone loves to have you here. And before we get started with the Q&A, which is piling up in the chat room as we speak, I wanted to ask you a couple of quick questions. Number one, I was wondering if you'd seen that that abstract on the latest study about the use of medical marijuana and it affecting the outcomes of drug rehab.
Oh, in fact, I've seen the whole paper, and it's a small sample, but the bottom line is that medical marijuana doesn't have an impact on drug rehab. This is consistent with so much of the anecdotal evidence about this topic, and I heard many an opiate and stimulant abuser tell me that cannabis has actually helped them abstain from hard drugs. And it was just nice to see that folks who were approved for medical use in California in this small sample didn't run into any extra problems associated with substance abuse treatment about other drugs, and that this, I think, shows a lot of promise for bigger studies on this topic. And probably is no real surprise to a lot of folks out there.
All right. And another thing I wanted to follow up on, about a month ago, we had told folks about your online survey for veterans who were suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder and whether or not they used cannabis. Is that survey still going on, and do you have any preliminary results from it?
I still have the link up in case anybody does want to fill it out. The bottom line is a number of folks out there who are veterans in our country are really suffering. They've experienced some outrageous and rare traumatic events, and a number of them turn to cannabis and report that not every symptom is helped by it, but some of the key ones really are, as you would guess, things like insomnia, but also some sense for, you know, feeling close to other folks and generally, you know, the irritability that often accompanies any anxiety disorder and is particularly big in post-traumatic stress seems to dissipate with use of the plant.
All right. So how can people join that survey if they'd like to get involved?
If they want to send me an email to 420research@gmail.com, I'd be happy to send them the link.
I do want to counsel people, too. I did get a couple comments from folks, some veterans who had gone out and done the survey, and they had said that doing the survey actually kind of brought up some of those old feelings, some of those anxieties. Are you hearing a lot of that, and do people need to be warned about that ahead of time?
I actually ask about that in the midst of the survey, and then I have some recommended places to call and people to contact if that seems like it's a big issue. And, you know, anyone who doesn't want to, by all means, quit in the middle if it's bumming you out, or, you know, feel free to not participate. But the referrals at the end are also really useful, or I'm happy to send referrals to anybody who would just like one of those.
All right. Well, let's get to the questions here in the chat room. White Talon has a question. He's asking about migraine, and specifically the type of migraine that's brought on by neurological or muscle-related migraine. And wants to know, it's kind of a two-part question, how does THC stop the migraine when smoked? And would it be better to take edibles or vaporizing as a preventative measure rather than waiting for the migraine to come on?
As it turns out, the mechanism behind it with THC is comparable to a lot of other impact of THC on pain. The cannabinoid system is very much involved in our perceptions of pain. The clincher with headache of all type, but migraine in particular, is often you get little hints that it's coming on. So some folks who experience migraine notice some odd reactions to light or a sensitivity to light or even little light flashes on the periphery of their vision. As soon as you see that, go ahead and turn on the vaporizer, because that's going to have the most rapid impact, and then that way you're likely to either decrease the duration of the headache itself or sidestep it completely. The other thing I want to emphasize, too, is just good stress reduction. So the links between tension and the onset of migraine and certainly the onset of tension headache are really strong. So do what you can to make sure you get enough sleep, exercise, watch out on the caffeine, eat right, and just make sure your life is really a fun time and not all about working hard and living hard and trying to be some kind of wild machine.
All right. Question here from KF6NFW. Knows of someone who's on a apnea monitor for sleep apnea, and he's theorizing that using cannabis might actually make that worse, because cannabis will lead to you sleeping more deeply, and that might be a greater risk for apnea. Is there anything you have to say about that theory?
It's funny. We've had a couple of apnea questions over the last month, and it turns out we just don't have the data. Sleep apnea itself is a pretty complicated phenomenon, and if somebody actually has to use a gizmo to keep it to a minimum, that usually means things are pretty extreme on that. Unfortunately, the notion that THC actually makes you sleep deeper may not be the case. There seems to be some REM dream sleep that's suppressed in response to THC, so it's just not clear if that's the way it would work or not. It sounds like a tenable hypothesis, but unfortunately, there are just so many alternatives that would need to be ruled out.
I see. KJones71 has a question real quick. A comparison of, I might be mispronouncing this, clozapine versus cannabis for racing thoughts.
So clozapine is a curious drug that basically hits a different neurotransmitter system from cannabis. And unfortunately, there's a subset of folks who, particularly in response to the sativa strain, say that racing thoughts actually gets worse. Mm. So I can't recommend it. I'm not a huge fan of clozapine either, though. I often find that folks who have racing thoughts are either hitting caffeine or nicotine a little too hard, are often sleep-deprived, or find that if they can go ahead and say, wow, I realize I'm, you know, my thoughts are racing here, I need to sort of separate myself from these thoughts and to kind of recognize that these are just your thoughts and they're not necessarily true, they're not necessarily reflecting reality, and take a little time out to often distract yourself, because ruminators tend to end up depressed in the long run. Watch a little comedy, listen to some music you like, or engage in a task that you're good at, even if it's just, you know, cleaning up around the house or exercising or doing some artwork, something like that. But usually your mind is trying to send you a message that things are going a little too fast and it's time to take a break.
Okay. One of my favorite usernames here, 420Unicorn, has a question and wants to know if there's any studies about cannabis and ovarian cysts, particularly for the relief of the cramping and pain that comes along with those cysts.
We've seen improved, you know, pain more generally in response to cannabis, but there's nothing that's published that addresses ovarian cysts specifically. Unfortunately, that's a pretty complicated condition, and those can rupture, so That's the kind of thing where you really need to, you know, deal with your physician and take as many opportunities as you can to see an MD on that kind of topic.
Okay. Mikey Zero has a question. He's a moderator on an internet forum, and he knows of this 19-year-old young man who says he's having severe reactions to any cannabis. His ears ring, he has hallucinations, lack of balance to the point of falling down. And, of course, Mikey Zero said, you know, cut down on your cannabis. But what do you think about that? Is that a type of reaction to cannabis you've heard before?
That's relatively rare. I mean, we hear aversive reactions, and several of them have been published in large data sets, but usually those people don't use it more than two or three times.
Right.
So the idea that this guy keeps going back to it, it sounds like this is just not the plant for him.
Yeah, and of course, I always like to point out, too, when we talk about people that do have these severe reactions to cannabis, that's not an argument for keeping cannabis illegal. I think you were the one who mentioned, you know, we don't make, or maybe it was Paul Armentano, that we don't make peanuts illegal because some people are deathly allergic to them.
Exactly, and I love that example, and Paul did come up with that one.
Okay. Destruction has a question here about cannabis and asthma, and wanted to know if a hit of marijuana will instantly stop an asthma attack.
Probably not instantly, and again, much like with the migraine, you'd want to intervene as early as possible. If, you know, if you've got a vaporizer, by that I mean the gizmo that's applied to asthmatics, those do tend to work more rapidly than even firing up the vaporizer and using cannabis.
Okay. I can testify that I've interviewed Miss New Jersey 2006, Georgine DeMaria. She is an asthma sufferer, and I know that she uses vaporized cannabis to control her asthma, but I don't believe there's a whole lot of studies on the issue. Is that true?
That's exactly the case, yeah.
Okay. The Blues Guy has a question here. Actually, he's just got a statement, but wants to know, why does cannabis reduce his Parkinson's symptoms as much as 90%? It's amazing.
In fact, it's one of those odd situations where Parkinson's involves a different neurotransmitter system that's downstream from the one that's involved primarily in cannabis, but it's astounding how quickly and how dramatically the impact is. If you've ever seen anybody do this, it's just such a world of good, and I can't imagine any laws that would keep people from that kind of relief.
Okay. Interesting question here. Let me see if I can find the name again. Oh, yes, Dynamist wanted to know if cannabis has any effect on the body's lipid levels, that is, cholesterol and triglycerides.
It looks like the only thing related to that is that cannabis will, in the short term, lower some blood pressure, but the actual content of the blood lipids doesn't seem to alter much. Alcohol, in contrast, can raise triglycerides. Of course, if you get the munchies and go eat everything in the house, that's certainly not going to help.
Okay. SBizzle420's question wants to know if you've heard of marijuana being used to treat some symptoms of chronic Lyme disease.
I have heard two cases. This is curious that this has come up. I've heard two cases relatively recently, and it's primarily things like inflammation and pain, so it's not a huge surprise that cannabis would be used on this, but it definitely does not battle the disease itself, and I don't want folks to, you know, get bit by a tick and then think they're just going to smoke pot and be fine. If you do find yourself with a tick in your head, by all means, take that sucker down to the emergency room and get it checked, because Lyme disease is a real drag.
And just in general, you made that mention, cannabis is used a lot medically for the relief of symptoms. Are there any conditions where cannabis is thought to actually help the disease or help cure the disease?
Most of our data on things like arthritis, nausea, chronic pain, and things like that, it's really just addressing the alleviation of those symptoms. And the core on some of those disorders, we either don't understand or we clearly see that cannabis isn't wiping them out. There are a couple of studies of bacterial infection where it might be the case, but again, these are relatively rare. They're usually the exception more than the rule.
Okay. Two more quick questions that we can get in here in the remaining time. Yellowwana Cake wants to know if you're familiar with EMDR therapy and how cannabis can enhance or diminish its effectiveness.
EMDR therapy sounds absolutely insane when you describe it, but now has at least 6 outcome studies saying it works. Basically, folks who've experienced trauma learn how to relax, and then the therapist actually has them move their eyes back and forth, allegedly to perhaps stimulate certain brain waves, and then re-experience a whole bunch of the aversive feelings until those finally extinguish, so that finally those sad feelings associated with the trauma tend to dissipate. Unfortunately, a subset of folks have suggested that cannabis would interfere with this, that the exposure itself and the moving of the eyes back and forth wouldn't create the same effect, at least if people are high at the time. The data on that are primarily anecdotal, but I do kind of trust the intuitions on clinicians on this. You certainly don't want to do an EMDR session while you're high. Does that mean you shouldn't get high ever again during the treatment? I think that's unlikely, but clearly during the session it's not going to help.
Okay. And our final question here, and I hope I get the name pronounced correctly, Ela said, wants to know, have there been any studies on marijuana and depression?
The bottom line on this is it's not that marijuana makes people depressed, but depressed people do smoke marijuana. So the causal link between cannabis and depression really just isn't there. We do see, however, some folks self-medicating. It's really not the treatment of choice. A whole lot of activity-based and cognitive-based therapies do a whole lot better, and those, I think, do a whole lot better than what Big Pharma has been pushing at us as well. So the clincher is literally hooking up with a therapist who's trained in cognitive behavioral therapies, and oddly enough, it's often as simple as getting out and doing fun stuff, engaging in the behaviors that are consistent with your own values, and running out and making sure you're, you know, battling the things that you've been sort of avoiding. The funniest thing of all for me is a case I know where a person was clinically depressed and was using cannabis a lot to try to treat it. It didn't seem to work very well. Then this person became a cannabis activist and was out more, was seeing people more, was doing things that he really valued, and suddenly his mood really lifted. And I thought there's kind of an indirect way that cannabis can treat depression by getting you out and active.
All right. Well, thank you, Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Every time we have you on, I'm just amazed because it's like the lightning round of every possible angle and direction on cannabis questions, and you just knock each one of them out of the park. Thanks for joining us again here for Cannabis Science.
Oh, thank you.
All right. When we come back, we'll be going to Wisconsin to talk about medical marijuana in the dairy state. This is Normal Show Live.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
It's tough talking to kids about marijuana, especially if you might be a parent who dabbled a time or two in your youth. So to help you out, get your copy of Dr. Mitch Earlywine's latest book, A Parent's Guide to Marijuana. Dr. Earlywine is an associate professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and an expert on the studies concerning marijuana, its effect on health and society, and the methodology behind the statistics. He is a frequent guest here on our daily audio stash. Dr. Earlywine lays it all out without the propaganda and scare tactics that parents know won't work with teenagers. He presents a rational understanding of cannabis, what it is and what it isn't, and why kids shouldn't be using marijuana. You can order today through Amazon.com or check our links at our blog, stash.normal.org.
The Emerald Sun will rise on St. Paddy's Day, March 17, 2010. Emerald Sun is opening up our design studio at 9423 North Division in Spokane. We're at the Y. Visit us at www.emerald-sun.com for details on our specialty threads and designs with the cannabis culture in mind.
The most devastating effect of the war on marijuana is that it is a war on everyday people like you and me. All week we speak to the doctors, scientists, celebrities, and politicians who make up the professionals fighting for cannabis liberty, but we never forget about the tens of millions who use cannabis, the millions who need medical access to cannabis, the hundreds of thousands arrested every year for cannabis, and tens of thousands imprisoned under our marijuana laws. At Normal, we are the Cannabis Consumers Lobby, and we take this opportunity to share the experiences of our cannabis community.
Welcome back, everyone. It's 50 after the hour, and we're working on getting our guests on the line here from Wisconsin. We actually have two guests from Wisconsin and one in New Jersey, and we're trying to do a four-way call here. Carrie's getting them on the line just as soon as possible. But I do want to tell people about the Jackie Rickert Medical Marijuana Act. That's our subject for this interview. This is the act in Wisconsin to pass medical marijuana, named after Jackie Rickert, who is one of our guests. And it's coming to a head here pretty quick in the State House in Madison, and are looking to get as much support as they can possibly get. There's a couple of websites that you should check out. Go to madisonnormal.org and also check out Is My Medicine Legal Yet? And their website is immly.org. Is My Medicine Legal Yet? You can find out more information about that there. Now, I was in Madison, Wisconsin last year for the Great Midwest Harvest Fest, and Jackie Rickert was with me as well. She's on the line right now, and I'm going to switch over to that line, and we'll speak to Jackie Rickert. Jackie, can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Oh, Jackie, so glad to have you back here on the show. I was just starting to tell people how we interviewed back at the Great Midwest Harvest Fest, and we had that big march and rally for medical marijuana. Since I saw you last, what has happened as far as trying to get medical marijuana passed in Wisconsin?
Oh, my God. We've just been going completely forward. I mean, we're the wire here, and the word has to get out so that no patient is left behind. This bill has to pass. It has to pass this time.
Yes, absolutely.
We can no longer wait for it to go passed over, put into, we'll get to this next year, we'll get to this in 2 years. We can't do that any longer. It has to be done now. We buried too many friends.
Yes.
And it hurts.
And
it really hurt.
And speaking of that, I did want to mention that when I met you down there in Madison, there was another activist who was involved. I think her name was Mary, and she didn't make it long enough to be able to see this pass.
No, she didn't. She gave it every single thing she had. We would talk on the phone all the time. Someday she would be so tired, but she wanted to go up there anyway because she knew she had to. It was... And she said it was her reason for going on. It gave her that extra piece of hope that she knew it wouldn't happen in her lifetime. She just knew inside that she kept wanting to do this, that it meant so much to see all her brothers and sisters get their medicine.
For this... For this Medical Marijuana Act, it's the Jackie Rickert Medical Marijuana Act. It's named after you. Where are we at the State House with this? Has it passed committees? Is it just going up for a vote? I mean, what are we looking at as far as politically?
I'm sure Gary could explain that more, but from what I know, we are right now doing everything we can to get it into the committee.
I see. Okay, so still a few hurdles to have to clear there at the State House in Madison. How about the support from Wisconsinites just in general? You know, a lot of people think of Wisconsin as fairly conservative type of an area, but is there a lot of support amongst the people for this act?
The poll that we had done by Chamberlain Research came back as 80.3% of all Wisconsinites in all 72 counties were for medical marijuana being available with a physician's request. You can't say prescription because obviously it can't be prescribed.
Right. So 80% support, you know, 4 out of 5 Wisconsinites support medical marijuana. Why is it so hard when there's such great public support? I mean, if I were to bring up any other topic that had 80% support, you would think it would be, you know, automatic. It would just go right through. It would run through on rails in any legislature. Why is it so hard to get medical marijuana passed in Wisconsin when the people support it so much?
There's so much foot-dragging that it seems like they don't know if they'll be popular in the next election, if their buddy is going to follow the same suit. It just seems so political to me. That, I mean, this is a win-win situation for the police. I mean, they know where this medication is at, why it's there. Patients will be protected. We won't have to live in fear again. We won't have to hesitate to medicate because you have that fear that you have to look over your shoulder, have your door kicked in, or as happened to me, have young officers going through your underwear drawer, which is not very nice. I know last time we spoke, Russ, I know I kind of made a joke out of it, but it's true. When over 80% of Wisconsin feels, you cannot get people to decide that about groceries or dinner or anything. I mean, it's such an overwhelming number. I don't understand what they don't get. We've offered all the information. I mean, the research is there. We are the walking, talking, rolling research.
Right. Well, you know,
so I'm with you. I don't know if there's any justice left in this state. This bill will pass.
You know, and you talk to a lot of these legislators, and folks are seeing your picture up on our webcam in your wheelchair. So you're wheeling through the state house, and you're going and speaking to these legislators in person. When they look you in the eye, what do they tell you about medical marijuana and their support or non-support?
A lot of them are really with you, but when they start naming off parts of the bill that, well, we think that we're really for this, and, you know, we're really compassionate, but we don't think the people in our district will really like to look out their door and see little green plants growing. What is wrong with that? I mean, it's not like people are going to come and steal people's medicine. I mean, it's just a small amount of medicine for people to have if people can't get to the compassion centers. This is something that's going to take a while. It's not just going to pop up overnight.
Right. Now, your bill,
patients that can't get there, they need to be protected.
Now your bill does establish compassion centers, a.k.a. dispensaries, in Wisconsin?
Yes, it includes that also.
Excellent. And a couple other things. People always ask about reciprocity, and that is, you know, a medical marijuana state recognizing a card from another medical marijuana state. Is that part of the bill?
The exact, theory would be much better if that than I.
Okay. How about any other details in the bill? Can you tell us about plant limits or possession limits for patients if it were to pass?
I believe it was 9 plants? Mm-hmm. 12 plants.
12 plants.
12 plants. Patients.
And any sort of limit on the amount of dried medicine that a person could store?
3 ounces.
3 ounces, okay.
And as myself can't grow for themselves, then they can have 5 to 6 care providers that can grow for them.
Okay.
I believe it's 5.
Okay. Well, we're speaking with Jackie Rickert, who's the namesake of the Jackie Rickert Medical Marijuana Act in the state of Wisconsin. It is winding its way through the legislature and needs your support. So I want to encourage everyone to go to the website of Is My Medicine Legal Yet? That's immly.org and lend your support. You can give of your time. You can give of your money. You can write to these legislators. Even if you're not a resident of the state of Wisconsin, there's no reason why you can't make your opinion known to these people and help to try to push things in Jackie's favor. Jackie, before I let you go, is there anything else you'd like to tell our listeners?
Please, everybody in Wisconsin, from all the phone calls, the emails, everybody that's been asking, all of us, you know, what can we do? Okay, now. Boys just said, you know, just do something. Well, now is the time to just do something. Everyone that's asked what they can do, now is the time to do it. Pick up the phone. Call your legislators. Email them. Make calls to the governor.
You're absolutely right, Jackie. I totally appreciate you having
important.
You on the show. I've got to run here. We're up against the clock. Thank you for joining us here at Normal Show Live. You take a seat, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. For Cannabis Carrie and everybody here at Normal, I'm Radical Russ Belleville, reminding you this show will be replayed at 3, 5, 7, and 9 p.m. Pacific Time. In case you missed anything, you can also download it through iTunes or stash.normal.org.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Get involved. Join Normal. Start at normal.org. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.